I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, March the 16th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, next to W. Derek Russell, but not too close to him.
Hey, morning. Buddy.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great.
Fantastic.
Super.
Glad to be here.
Me too.
Gnarly.
Huh?
Tubular.
Are we back in the 70s now?
Psychedelic.
What? Mustache Bash is coming up.
Mustache Bash is coming up. We're going to have Jason Hayden joining us on the show tomorrow.
Sure are.
The curator of the Tupelo Mustache Museum.
Sure aren't. The what? Museum.
I just made that up. Over the Mustache Bash.
That's what we need. I'm calling Neil McCoy right after the show.
A mustache museum?
Mustache museum.
It just seems like an exhibit you'd have at CVB.
I will donate this mustache once I'm done with
Please.
It.
Please. You'll definitely be in it.
Yeah, nobody wants that. We'll just, why don't we just stick you in a glass case until you come to your senses? Okay, I'll shave it. He can get out now. He can go.
Children, stay behind the rope.
At least 50 yards behind the rope.
At all times. Yeah, we need a mustache museum like we need a hole, in our head.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
inside
you so
joke.
Much for that.
Inside joke.
I don't think the hole in your head joke is an inside joke. I think everybody knows what a hole in your head joke
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but it goes.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's
Derek and I,
that's
never
neither
mind.
Here nor there.
It makes Derek and I laugh.
It's fine.
Nobody knows
it's
what
fine.
The heck we're talking about.
It's fine.
It's fine.
He's
fine.
Phineas.
Yeah, I think he's Phineas.
Okay.
Good day,
everybody,
sir.
Everybody's like, what the crap are we...
I said good day.
I'm listening to something else.
You stole fizzy lifting drink.
What?
You've never seen Willy Wonka, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I've seen the original only like once.
So. You've seen the other one more?
Well, I have kids who
that's not acceptable.
Were small when that came
the,
out.
The other one, the real one is far superior.
It's good, yeah. But I've only seen it once.
I saw the Willy Wonka clip. You... put on Facebook the other day.
Oh, yes. This was unrelated, but the presidential, you wouldn't get it because you've only said it one time. And he's already seen it, so there's nothing for me to tell here.
Oh, I saw that clip.
Yes. Oh, did you?
It was funny.
The good eggs and the bad eggs
yeah.
with all the...
Yeah, with Trump and the other guys up there.
Yeah.
It was funny.
All the Republican nominees.
Yeah.
He was a bad egg.
Imagine that.
But at the end, he yells at Charlie. He tells him all the reasons that he didn't, you know, he doesn't win. He's the last kid standing, but... He stole fizzy lifting drink. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
Good
I was
times.
Getting around to. We got a full show today.
Yeah, we do, don't we? Who we got on the show? Oh, yeah, we got Emma Kent. I almost said Emma Crawford. I still got to pause sometimes.
The smell, the thing.
Before I mess up her
name.
I think
Chris Kiefer is going to be on today, and then... Yeah, Adam Robinson's joining us as well.
Adam Robinson, Jenna Parsons with food.
Yeah, well, that's why we were sniffing, because food's coming.
Caleb Bedillion.
Is she bringing us something today? She promised.
Did she?
I
don't know.
There were rumors that there was a rumor.
Well, if she doesn't, she's not on the show. We'll cut that.
We cast you out. You get nothing. Good day, madam. You are banned. We didn't actually say why Jason Hayden was going to be on the show. He's going to be on tomorrow talking about Mustache Bash.
Which is Saturday night,
the final one.
I can't wait. I'm going to go clothes shopping today. I'm going to go find a...
Clothes shopping? Oh my God, can we go together?
What? Okay. I'm going to find a... I'm going to try to find a... I'm thinking a silk shirt with a big collar.
Think of a silk shirt.
Maybe some white polyester pants.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't know. We'll
hitting,
see. What...
Hitting up the thrift stores?
Yeah.
City Thrift?
Yeah, we'll see what I can find.
Nice.
Or if anyone has something like that out there, they want to donate and save me some
money. What are you doing with the rest of the stubble? What's happening? Is this going away? Is this going away?
It's all just like it's going to be. I'm going to go to the barber shop, maybe get it trimmed back a little bit.
But you're leaving all this? And
why not? I'll probably shave again before Saturday, the rest of my days.
Take all that off and just leave the mustache.
Yeah.
And the little bit of connection. It's just almost. It's just.
I don't want to connect the sideburns. That would look bad.
I don't want to get too close, but you know, it's.
Come on, Derek.
No, I feel like a hand's going to come out of there and punch me or something.
Look closer.
Oh, God.
Moving.
It's like the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Almost knocked over the mic.
It's terrifying.
How's play practice going?
Great.
That's all we're going to say about that.
Good.
No, yeah. We had a. Derek actually was in charge last night, and we got a lot done.
I whipped him.
Did you throw any chairs?
Whipped him in. I did not throw any chairs. There were no children around. Well, there was a child. But
there was a child in the play.
No, I chose not to throw any chairs last night.
So, it was good.
Except that one I threw, shave your mustache. But that was it.
It's opening weekend of April 7th.
April 7th. It's a Thursday. The Baldwin Main Street Players in downtown Baldwin. The
Peacemakers. Good play. Written by two local guys.
Western.
Featuring the two of you and Lauren Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Among other people.
Among other people. Those are the Daily Journal.
But these are the Daily Journal people. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, it stars me and Brad Locke. And,
as yourself.
And that gets killed. Spoiler alert, I get killed very quickly.
A lot of people die.
Most people die. All people die.
Everyone's dead.
There's no one.
Everyone dies.
I don't know who wrote the show because everyone's dead by the end of it. Who was there to tell the story? Yeah. Everybody's dead.
There are some names you would know in there, though.
There are some names you would know.
Clark Ritchie, John McCushton. Is that how you say his last
McHouston.
Name? McHouston.
Mm-hmm.
John McHouston.
Mm-hmm.
My bad.
That's okay. Lauren Wood.
Lauren Wood.
Brad Locke.
Yeah.
Derek Russell.
Yeah, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Martin.
Lisa Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Goussey.
There's a lot of people in it. And we all die.
Everyone dies.
Happy Wednesday.
Trey Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah. Make sure I get his name out there.
Are you just going to keep going? Or
the guy that the... I can't remember his name. He goes by Frog. I can't remember his name.
Anthony.
Because everybody calls him Frog.
That's his nickname, Frog.
Yeah, just Frog. Okay.
And then the bane of my existence,
and then the
Frog
kid,
views.
The kid, Tanner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Palmer.
Yeah, he plays the kid.
I'm going to try to segue here to the show, but if you want to keep naming people.
I just didn't want anybody to
feel
left
out. Now we're going to go to the props crew and name all them off.
I didn't want anybody to feel left out.
These are people who walked by the theater
last night. Clark Ritchie and Rex Harrison wrote it.
This person was at the red light out in front of the theater.
Makeup artist.
On the way to the show, we saw.
My mom's going to come see it. Her name is. Anybody else?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you sure?
I just didn't want anybody to feel left out.
That's fine.
Okay.
There's some mice in the theater. Their names are Huey, Dewey, and Louie. You good?
Patsy Cline's in
it. Patsy Cline's going to come see it. Anybody else?
No.
Okay, you sure?
We should have some Patsy Cline music in there.
I'm going to get some music.
Who's in charge of the music? Do I need to mention them?
It's good grief. How much coffee have you had today?
Only a cup and a half.
Your Dale Earnhardt cup. I'm gonna mute.
Yeah, I was walking into work this morning. Some lady sitting in the parking lot in the car.
You can't even get through it.
Shut up. You reminded me of something. Okay.
Morning.
Some lady was sitting in the parking lot, I guess, waiting on her husband. He was inside the Journal. She had her window down. I'm walking past. She goes, "I like your coffee cup."
It's like number three. Woo.
Dale.
Woo. Let's go watch people drive in a circle.
I gave her a thumbs up because I didn't initially understand what she said. I should have just thrown up three fingers. That's what I should have done.
I like your coffee cup. Yours too. Oh, you're not holding. Oh, coffee cup. I understand.
Yeah.
Hate it when people.
I thought she said something about my mustache because I get compliments all the time.
I always hated it whenever I was gone somewhere and I would like take a taxi to an airport like in New York or something. Have a nice flight. You too. Oh, you're not having a flight.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enjoy your meal. You too. Oh, I've just given you money for my meal. You're not actually eating, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got another story.
We got time for one more.
I was in ninth grade on the basketball team, and I had a pretty good game. And after the game, we're going back to the locker room, and one of the cheerleaders, who I kind of had a crush on, was like, good game. Oh, I was like, good game.
Well, surprise, Brad, she's here today. Come on.
You didn't play, but good game. You cheered.
Good cheer.
And that's where it all went downhill.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That one.
Ninth grade is when it went downhill for me.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Nah, well. Okay. Let's do the show, Derek.
Okay.
All right, let's bring Caleb Bedillion into the show. Hey, Caleb, what's up, man?
Hey, Brad. Glad to be back again.
Glad to have you back, sir. You had a story that, quite frankly, fascinated me, even though I don't really like politics that much. But the story on Monday, I read the whole thing and remained interested in it, which says something. That's a compliment, because mostly when it comes to things about politics, I'm just my eyes glaze over. But you had a cool story about the balance of power in the first congressional district, specifically Lee County versus DeSoto County. As you note in the story, of course, Trent Kelly recently won the Republican primary for the first congressional district seat. He won the special election last year, and he won in dominating fashion two weeks ago, over Paul Clever. And three of the last four congressmen from this district have come from Lee County. So Lee County has kind of been the center of power in the district, but DeSoto County, they're starting to make some inroads there, aren't they, DeSoto County?
Right, right. It's interesting. DeSoto County is the state's third largest county by population.
Right.
And South Haven, obviously the largest city in DeSoto County, has a population of something like 48,000 thereabout, according to the most recent census numbers, whereas Tupelo only has a population of about 35,000. And yet, despite this population imbalance, yeah, Tupelo has historically been quite dominant in the first district. Of the last four representatives of the first district, three were from Tupelo or Lee County, at least. And the fourth, Travis Childers, was from Prentice County, which is kind of within the Lee County orbit. Now, South Haven Mayor Greg Davis did win the Republican nomination to run against Childers in the special election and then the general election also. So, you know, we had South Haven starting to make a play there. Now, Mr. Davis had some subsequent legal problems.
Yes, he did.
So we won't expect him to make a return.
And looking at the numbers from Paul Clever, I mean, he didn't get a lot of votes, but he did get 20% of the vote in DeSoto, 16% in Tate, which is right in that area. Better than he did in Lee County, where he only got 8%. So can we read something into those numbers?
I mean, you know, there are a couple of ways you could look at it. Mr. Clever is a resident of Olive Branch, and based on my conversations with him, it seems that he did most of his appearances and what campaign speeches he did were in the DeSoto County area. He did very little in terms of campaign appearances in Lee County or this area. So you can just say, you know, name recognition. He had done a little bit more to get his name out in the DeSoto County area, and that paid off with more votes. I think, though, I mean, if we look at other election results, there might be something to thinking that DeSoto is attracted to a slightly different breed of conservatism.
Which I was going to ask you about, that the insurgent conservatism, as you will, some
right.
Tea Party type.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Clever really tried to make the primary a referendum on Trent Kelly's record in a way that might be familiar to some of us who are watching some of these presidential primaries, some of these other national races. Paul Clever really tried to brand himself as the authentic conservative and Mr. Kelly as kind of a compromiser with the D.C. establishment. Now, that didn't really get him too far in this race. Trent Kelly won 89% of the votes across the district. But as you point out, Paul Clever won 20% of the vote in DeSoto County, about 16% in neighboring Tate County. And if you go back to the McDaniel-Cochran Senate race, which was very much an establishment versus conservative insurgent, you know, Chris McDaniel dominated in the returns in DeSoto, Tate, that area, whereas Cochran fairly easily won Lee County.
Right.
So, you know, maybe these elections are just outliers or don't tell us a story. But looking at those numbers, one might suspect that the DeSoto area is much more friendly territory to Tea Party style conservatism.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you look at the demographics, that area has just exploded in population the last 10 to 15 years.
Right.
I mean, I think a lot of it's coming from Memphis. And so you've got a lot of white, fairly affluent white people now filling up that area.
Right.
I think that probably is a sign that maybe that brand of conservatism could gain a foothold there.
That's right. And it's important that you point out that some of that population growth is, from a historical perspective, fairly recent.
Right.
I spoke to a Marty Wiseman, a local political expert, pundit, used to be the director of the John Stennis Center for Politics at Mississippi State. And, you know, talked to him a little bit about, given DeSoto's population numbers, why haven't they been more dominant in the district? He kind of attributed that to, they're still getting to know each other,
right,
I think, was the way he used it. Whereas, in his words, Tupelo has been the capital of the first district for, at this point, a long time. So some of that recent population growth may be, you know, DeSoto, the possible candidates for office are still kind of finding their footing. And now, I mean, you know, if Trent Kelly wins this race in November, you know, he's probably set to hold that seat as long as he wants incumbents, especially in the House.
Yeah, you feel like with the numbers that you're seeing in population up there, that at some point, you know, they're going to catch up politically speaking.
Right.
And once they kind of, I guess, have more of a community feel to them, like Tupelo and Lee County do, then maybe they'll have more success in the political arena.
Right,
my
right.
Guess.
Yeah, certainly. I think the Greg Davis run was the sign of the DeSoto area saying it's time for us to make a play for the first district and sure. have a say district-wide. What that will look like in the future, I think, will depend to a great extent on Trent Kelly's career.
Sure.
If he wins re-election in November, you know, he's in a good position to hold that seat as long as he wants. Re-election rates for incumbent congressmen are very high.
Yes.
So I would have trouble seeing, unless he does something that just really irritates DeSoto Republicans, I would have trouble seeing someone try to mount a serious primary challenge to Trent Kelly. I mean, Mr. Clever was, to be honest, somewhat outside the political mainstream, and he had no real backing of the DeSoto Republican establishment or machine.
Yeah.
But for a DeSoto Republican to win the district, they're going to need more infrastructure than Mr. Clever did.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, if Mr. Kelly decides to run for something else at some point in the future or doesn't want to hold that seat anymore, maybe we'll see a more serious run by a DeSoto Republican.
Okay. Again, that story ran in Monday's Journal. You can also check it out at djournal.com and follow Caleb on Twitter at Caleb Bedillion. Thank you, Caleb.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts we have. We're going to have a new episode of Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast, going to drop this afternoon. Gene Phelps and myself. We'll take a look back at the state basketball championships. Had a few teams from the area bringing home a gold ball. And probably talk a little baseball, too. So you can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And tomorrow, Thursday, a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. You can also listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. As welcome Emma Kent into the show. Hello, Emma. How are you?
I'm great, Brad.
Good. You had a story yesterday about tornado safety, severe weather safety in local schools. You talked to Jimmy Weeks, superintendent of Lee County Schools, Gerald Loden, superintendent of Tupelo Schools. And you talked about a lot about how they kind of the process they go through to keep an eye on severe weather and then making decisions on what to do with the students with severe weather.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I mean, it's tornado season now, and although we've had some weird days of weather kind of throughout the winter, but, you know, now is the time when you kind of start thinking about it. And the schools, they've got tons of kids that they're responsible for, and they've got to figure out, you know, if this happens on a school day, what they're going to do. And I know a lot of times they'll dismiss early or they'll say, no, we're going to stay the whole day. And there's usually a lot of, you know, you just kind of wonder, how do they decide what to do and what's the right thing to do?
That seems to be the trickiest part, is knowing when or if to send kids home. Because, I mean, a lot of them go back to homes that may not be as safe as the school when it comes to tornado.
Yeah, especially, you know, schools in the county in the more rural areas, you know, you might have kids that are not going home, like you said, to a safe structure, and they might be better at the school building. So there's a lot that goes into that decision.
And what makes it even tougher is the fact that, you know, it takes time for these kids to get home. The bus routes can take a while. Parents, you have to alert them. They have to come. Some of them have to come get the kids, and that can all. So you can't just like wait till the tornado is almost upon you.
You got to plan. You got to think about it. And the bus is not a good place to be. You don't want to have to pull your bus over on the side of the road and get the kids out and have them lay down in a ditch. I mean, that would just be chaos and not safe. And so you have to think about all those situations. And the superintendents are usually the ones who have to make the final decision.
Yeah.
Of course, they talk to, you know, local meteorologists and people, you know, with the National Weather Service and all those kinds of organizations to really understand their window of time and kind of what the best plan of action would be.
And, you know, obviously we had the big tornado almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of lessons did they take from that? Because, I mean, it seems like they made the right decisions at that time, but they've, you know, taken some lessons from that. And they've got the command center Tupelo School District has.
Yeah, so they something that Dr. Loden told me was that kind of from his experience with that tornado, but also from the one in Smithville in 2011, just kind of knowing the situation there, he said, you know, we realized that it's really hard to communicate after something like that happens because mm-hmm. the cell phones yeah. don't always work and phone lines or might get damaged or whatever. I mean, there's just, it might be hard to communicate. And that's, if you're running a school system and you're trying to get kids places or take care of them or whatever, you need to be able to, communicate with every school.
Yeah.
And so they got a new, radio system with that command center, that's going to allow the different campuses to communicate easier, but it also came with a repeater. And so that'll be like a backup for cool. them in the event of
yeah.
a tornado or whatever. I mean, it's a really good backup communication system that they can use if the phones aren't working or whatever. So they were excited about that.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. Again, you can find the story in Tuesday's Journal at djournal.com. Follow Emma on Twitter at M Crawford Kent. That's at E.M. Crawford Kent. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, Brad.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session.
And we want to remind you about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. That's online at thrive.ms. And we now move on to today's news memo. For more of these stories, read your Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Senate Transportation Committee chairman chose not to bring up a vote on Tuesday for a proposal to raise $411 million to pay for infrastructure improvements. Instead, Chairman Willie Simmons introduced a bill that has all the code sections in it but does not change any of them. This would allow legislators to make those changes at a later date. The plan would have brought new revenue primarily through an increased tax on gasoline. Proponents say the state needs more money to repair roads and bridges.
New health statistics show improvements in Lee County. The data was provided by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Lee County was ranked 6th in various health factors out of Mississippi's 82 counties. In 2011, Lee County was ranked 24th. Statewide, this year's rankings found that rural counties have higher rates of smoking, obesity, child poverty, teen births, and uninsured adults.
Tupelo City Council selected a contractor to install a new splash pad at Theron Nichols Park. CIG Contractors was the winning bidder on the $500,000 project. Some of that cost will be covered by a $150,000 grant from Land and Water Conservation. Project architect Rudd Robinson said the splash pad could open in June if construction proceeds as expected. He said it will look similar to the new Joyner splash pad.
City officials met with a Comcast representative Tuesday as part of ongoing efforts to negotiate a new franchise agreement with the cable and internet service provider. During a work session, council members took the opportunity to air frank discontent with Comcast, particularly related to its record of customer service. Comcast representative Ronnie Colvin attended the meeting and insisted the company is making efforts to improve such complaints.
The Alcorn County School Board voted on Monday to close two elementary schools at the end of the school year. Superintendent Larry Mitchell said closing Glendale and Rienzi elementary schools and merging them with other schools could save the district $889,000 a year. That money could go towards school district's debt and maintenance problems, he said. However, the board's 3-2 vote on Monday also left many in tears. Parents said the children thrive in the current small school environments. Rienzi will be merged with the Biggersville Elementary and Glendale with the Alcorn Central Elementary. Adam Robinson joining us now. Adam, how are you, sir?
Hey, Derek. How's it going?
I'm doing well. You spent some time under the lights last week.
Well, I do every day, but...
Yes. But yeah, far
specifically
more lights.
I did, yes.
Specifically at J. Britt Lighting and Interiors.
Yes. Hung out with Will Taylor and James Miller, I believe, is his sidekick's name that... helps him out back there in the shop, creating the restoration line that they work on, and a lot of cool things going on there. They'll, you know, Will make a light out of pretty much anything you take him.
They've got drum heads. They've got anything you can
piano
think of,
keys.
Really.
There's a light. Yeah, there's a light fixture hanging. That's the exterior of it is made out of piano keys. Mm-hmm. There are cheese graters.
I've seen
have lights in them.
I've seen the front bumper of a car with the headlights intact hanging in there before, like a long dining room light. I mean, they do some
old wagon wheels,
really cool things. In fact, they restore some old church lighting from here in town too. That they end up with all the old lights from Harrisburg Baptist Church. I have one of those that they had redone several years ago. after they retrofitted those. So what kind of goes into what they do here? How does he, is it just what people bring them? Is it kind of a things he finds laying around?
Yeah, they go and scrimmage around and pick up old items, you know, old farm equipment barrels, mm-hmm. or old funnels. Like in the photo, he was making a funnel light for a customer. And he's like, hey, even though it's already sold, you can't come pick it up yet. It'll probably sit out on the showroom, but we'll put it out there so it can be seen. And it's anchored at the top by an old farm pulley. And he had a lot of old pulleys, so he makes a lot of those. And just, you know, taking that 4x4 and creating a path and running wire through it and some basic lighting threaded poles that are hollowed out for wires to go through, just basic lighting accessories that you would find on lamps or any fixtures.
Normal.
They're 60, stocked up on that.
75 watt, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That you can utilize.
Spools of cable. So, you know, they'll make sure they're not going to overload you and, you know, put too small of a gauge for the amount of power that might be going through. So,
or just rip your ceiling right off.
Yeah.
Right
yeah. Down. You know,
there was one really cool. There's a whole line that they do of just metal buckets, just like mm-hmm. water buckets, pails, and things. That place is overwhelming to walk through.
There's a lot going on, especially when you look up.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, did you actually lay on the floor for one shot?
Yes, I laid on the floor, back of my head to the ground, and then the camera to my eye, full 16 millimeters, full frame.
Yeah.
Shot that. And I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to get him out here and, you know, do a portrait and sort of, you know, just cone him lighting wise just to where his face would show up.
And, yeah.
But then we only have so much space. It was never going to run. It would just be cool to do.
Right.
But yeah, Will's a great guy. Like it said in the story, you know, this is his second chance too. Britt Caldwell's given him that job. Will's a recovering from drugs and alcohol. So this is, you know, he's been there. He's found his calling. He's rocking and rolling up there, and you know, he's got a great story. He's good to talk to, and he'll share it with you, and also talk about what they do there every day.
And does great work on top of that.
Good all fella.
Right. This ran in Monday's issue of your Daily Journal. There's also a photo gallery online, djournal.com. Adam, thanks for joining us.
No problem. And if anybody's got any ideas for me to go photograph, let us know.
Email us, memo@journalinc.com. It's Wednesday. Jenna Parsons joining us. Did not bring us food. We're not going to hold it against her, at least not on the air. Jenna, how are you?
I guess I'm okay.
I've been duly chastised. Well, that's not chastisement. It's just, you're a woman of your word. I expected you to hold up your end of the bargain.
The cookies did not turn out as promised.
I don't need pretty things.
Do you ever look at Pinterest?
Yeah, unfortunately,
and you
yes.
see these really pretty things, and then they have this Pinterest page that are epic fails, where this is what it's supposed to look like, mm-hmm. and then you make it at home, and this is what it looks like.
Did you submit?
I should have submitted my epic fail.
But usually the ugly things taste better.
Well, they did taste okay.
Which is like a mantra for my life. The ugly things are better in the end.
All right, I'll bring ugly cookies.
Ugly cookies for everybody. Right now we're talking about the Aberdeen Pilgrimage, which is going to be happening in April.
April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's always a big event. And the Riverview Garden Club luncheon will also be the Friday of as well.
Mm-hmm. This is the third year that they're going to do this, and they're going to do a pork loin and a couple of casseroles and some bread and a wine pudding cake. And you just come in between 11:30 and 2 and sit down and eat or grab a plate to go. And the money that they raise goes towards some of their beautification projects around town.
This is going to be going on at the First Baptist Church, the Family Life Center there in Aberdeen. Not a bad deal for $10 a ticket.
No, not at all. And I'm sure the servings will be generous. The Garden Club ladies will be preparing the food, all using the same recipe.
I've never heard of a wine pudding cake.
I had not either. It's a box of butter cake mix and a box of vanilla pudding, but it's got either a quarter or a half a cup of white wine in the batter, which I'm sure cooks out since I think Monroe County is dry.
Hmm.
And then there's a little bit of wine in the icing glaze.
Interesting. It does look yummy. your column about paninis. You have a panini maker. You saw a recipe for a waffle iron.
I'm going to confess that we do have a waffle iron, and we have a panini press, and we have a George Foreman, and we have a contraption called the Griddler. And you can, it's ridiculous. We only need really one of them.
One of those things.
But we have four. But daughter Mary is going to take the George Foreman with her to school in May. So we will be getting rid of that. But anything that you've got that has a sort of a griddle mark on it will make a panini.
And so these just happen to be in the shape of waffles.
Well, ours, we didn't use the waffle iron because my waffle iron isn't big enough.
Okay.
So we used the panini press.
I see. And what was your creation?
It was a boar's head low sodium turkey, which I did not think I was going to like, and I told the woman, I don't think I'm going to like this, but let me try a bite, and it was delicious. So low sodium turkey and some cheese, and what really kind of sent it over the top was a Granny Smith apple that was sliced really thinly, so it gave it a little sweet crunch, and then there's a mayonnaise mustard. It was good. Just trust me on
this your creation? You like putting apples on things, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You talked about the turkey burger before last.
Had the chopped apple and ginger and jalapeno.
And jalapeno.
You got something against apples, Derek?
No, I was just curious.
Okay.
It's like two in a row with some apples on it.
All right.
Listen, if we're going to throw down, we're going to throw down here. That's what's going to happen. Also, your cook of the week, a vegan who studied bats.
Batman, yes.
Cool. Brad looked at me, yes. He made... vegan muffins? Is that what these are?
Pumpkin chocolate chip pecan muffins. He did.
But they're vegan.
They are.
But they're vegan.
Well, because vegan, there's no meat, there's no dairy, there's no eggs.
Yeah. There's no taste.
So he has to.
Kidding.
No. So you have to find substitutes.
You said there's no taste.
But that's what Brad said. Like I asked him, when y'all go to potlucks or family gatherings and you've got to take a dish and you want that dish to stand up on the table along with everybody else's, you know, fried chicken and whatnot, what do you take? And it is his mama's lemon garlic potatoes. And that recipe is in there, little new potatoes that are cooked.
I thought you were about to say lemon garlic muffins, and I was about to question that a little.
No. And
vegans are making interesting choices.
He gave a recipe for a salsa, and then he also said sometimes they take, you know, what we call Mississippi caviar that's got black-eyed peas and onions and garlic and tomatoes, and corn, what chopped up together.
What does Nukes call that? Tishomingo?
Tippecanoe caviar.
Tippecanoe caviar, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. But y'all know what we're talking about. But yeah, they, but he does say that he is by no means a health nut vegan. And he pointed out that tater tots, French fries, and beer are all vegan. And so, You can go that route. I see you boys shaking.
I'm suddenly on board with this. Gotta buy more beer, wife. I'm going vegan.
Brad is easily swayable.
Need lots of beer. Going vegan.
And tater tots.
Beer and tater tots. What could be healthier?
That's pretty much your diet now, isn't it?
This week it is because the wife's out of town.
Is that what the kids are getting
to? I stocked up on
they're gone too. I'm all by myself.
Oh, wow.
I stocked up on 17 bags of Orida tater tots from Sam's.
I'm good to go.
And a box of beer. All right. Jenna, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, another fine show, in my opinion, Derek.
Well, we know how your opinion goes.
Smooth as butter, as always. Tell you what.
You are incorrect.
We are the epitome of professionalism when it comes to podcasting.
Really?
Sure.
As far as this room goes.
As far as anybody
knows. You go out
after Chris
these...
edits. I've told people, after Chris edits this all together, it's like, people don't know.
There's no question.
People don't know how the sausage is made. They don't need to know.
Now if we can just be funny. It's time to make the donuts.
Yeah, well, you know, being funny would be a nice luxury, but...
Yeah, we're not going to start now. Why start now? We haven't done it this long. Why would we move to that now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks to everybody for listening. I don't know. I really may call Neil McCoy about that mustache museum idea.
Go for that.
If you're listening, Neil, let's have lunch.
It's a million-dollar idea.
Let's have lunch, buddy.
It's possibly also a $7 idea. We're not entirely sure.
So anyway, find us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Mm-hmm. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where?
At Brad Locke.
I don't believe you.
With an E.
You sure?
You'll look it up.
I don't think so.
Go ask Mr. Google or Mr. Twitter. You'll find it.
I've hacked your account.
What?
You don't have it anymore. It's now at Harold.
You know, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Harold.
Is this real wood, this desk? Otherwise, it won't work.
It's fine.
It's heavy enough.
Knock on your head.
It feels like wood. Oh, okay. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I've never had a social media account hacked of mine.
Well, it's going to happen today.
Sounds like a
listeners,
challenge.
The challenge is on. The first one of you that can hack Brad Locke's Twitter account gets to be on the show and replace him as host.
Now somebody actually is probably going to go try to do it.
I hope
it's probably not that hard.
Neil McCoy, if you're listening.
Especially my password. It's password. Just kidding. It's not.
It's password one.
That'll throw him off.
It's the same code I have on my luggage. I'm an idiot.
Boy. We've dropped Neil McCoy's name way too many times on the show today.
That's fine.
I guess we'll have to have him on the show now.
We get a dollar every time we do it. Thanks to that CVB grant we got.
Yeah. You're on Twitter, at W. Derek Russell.
Yeah, please don't hack me.
At Chris Kiefer.
That's it.
People won't be able to hack him because the silent F throws
Which F is it? I can't understand it.
So
also, all the stories we talked about today, you can find online at djournal.com or following Twitter at djournalnow. Also, through your hard copy of the Daily Journal.
Okay.
Which you can pick up in newsstands or in your driveway.
Yes, you can.
We fling it really hard at Brad's face when the guy drives by.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Jason Hayden's on the show.
Jason Hayden joins us to talk about Mustache Bash, the final one. Going to do a little video with him, too, I believe. Yeah. A little video.
Yep. Look for it on Facebook tomorrow.
A little video.
Cool.
Yep.
All right.
Video.
Video of me and Jason.
Yep.
With our stashes.
Neil McCoy. That's a dollar right there.
Neil McCoy.
$2.
Oh, Neil McCoy. Three.
Wait. Neil McCoy, the singer, or 4. Neil McCoy from CVB?
5.
You're the Neil McCoy in Tupelo,
or the Neil McCoy that sang all those country songs back in the 90s?
I think we just got a $10 bill. I'm treating you to lunch today.
The Neil McCoy that lives here.
Baconators all
around. You know,
around.
Neil McCoy's son played with my son.
We're just going to have to stop that
baseball team.
Just stop recording anytime now. This
Neil
is
McCoy,
the end of the show.
Neil McCoy,
say goodbye.
Neil McCoy. Cha-ching. Neil McCoy. Okay. Everybody have a great day, especially you, Neil McCoy. See you next time.